Hello and welcome back to Talking Para. Footy is back. The season is just around the corner. Can you feel the excitement? We've only got three hosts here tonight. We've got Joel from League of Inches. How you going, Joel?
Yeah, good, mate. Footy's back, so loving it. Flat out. I didn't realise how busy this would be already, but... yeah, how good is it talking footy already? And second week, basically all the first grade stars, so how good?
Absolutely. Got myself, Troy, from the Para Cave podcast, and our illustrious host, Mr. Adam Martin. Bring on the Bulldogs. Yes, only about, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away now?
Yeah, you nailed it on the head, I think. Was it 9th of March? So can't wait. Like I said, years on the League of Inches one, Joel, it's pretty good this year, leading with the trials. We usually have that week off between the trials and obviously when the game starts. But because of the teams going to Vegas, we obviously get an extra weekend of footy. We've got some interesting concepts. We probably won't go tonight. We'll go to that when we get to the Vegas round. But some interesting concepts about how they can make that weekend better, because it does seem a bit strange starting the comp with two games on one day, doesn't it? And then obviously going into the next week. So I'm thinking, I'll touch on it quickly, maybe in the future they could do like a Sydney doubleheader or something and have some of the big Sydney clubs and see if you can get a bigger crowd, the games at Sydney or the games at Vegas. But look, obviously, Sydney. Footy started last weekend, started the weekend before for some of the Queensland teams, obviously leading in with that Queensland Cup stuff there. But it started last weekend for us, the Parramatta trial. Did anyone go? Troy, did you go?
No, I watched it on Fox Sports, Fox League.
That's... so the other benefit with this pre-season challenge thing that's all going on to Fox League. I watched, obviously, the replay of it because I was out on Saturday night. I'll go to you first, Joel. Your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, a bit up and down. We started really well. Quite promising how we just started out of the gates and really that traditional bash and barge style that we use. I thought that we tried to really offload the ball a lot more in attack and... I think that is a good sign for mine. We just don't want to overdo that either. We want to make sure we do respect the ball, but that's obviously a focal point of our attack. And I think it will be for this year. And the likes of Moses, Gutho, Brown playing off the back of Paulo and Campbell Gillard and Hopgood's offloads, etc. So that part was good. I was a little bit concerned as the game went on, but I guess we will delve into that a bit more soon.
Yeah, for sure. Troy, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Joel said it. Started off with a bang. Big front rower, Ogden, getting the first try, which was great to see. I think paying about $46 on one of the betting agencies, gamble responsibly. But 10-0 up and then 10-all and then 16-all and then Canberra run away with it. But, look, it's just a trial, isn't it? And... obviously, you want to win every single game that you play, but sometimes it's just not possible. And trials are used to try things. And listening to BA on Sunday morning to his conversation to the fans, he deliberately left those players on. And we all saw that they did look tired. And fitness was an issue, apparently. But he did deliberately left those players on to try and... when they get to those points in a game, to push through that, to get through that and get through that tiredness. And he said
do you think that's a bit of an indication of where some of those players are at last year? Like, I'll touch on it first of all.
Lazy.
Like, obviously got me more in the game, but yeah,
no,
you're right.
You're lazy. Not lazy.
It's well, the ability to push through, and I'll say more mental toughness in a way. Because, you know, there's times obviously last year where things didn't go away with injuries, sin bins, whatever you want to call it. And we needed some players to step up and play bigger minutes and they didn't have the ability to do it. Now, I want to highlight, you look at that team on the weekend and a lot of the regular first graders that played in that team were guys who had up and down seasons, to say the least. And I don't think anyone will deny that. Like, you know, you look at Bailey Simonson, I think Sean Russell, we need to start seeing a bit more from. He needs to take his game to the next level. Who else was there? Arcee was obviously in the first grade. He was kind of there to steer the ship around, I would say, even though he was wearing the six. Who else? Ogden was in and out. Maddo definitely had an up-and-down season. There's no doubt about that compared to the year before. Sean Lane, obviously, look, last year, definitely up and down based on injuries. And Hands, look, I guess Hands there probably had a bit more experience, but I think it was kind of more of a what his role was going to be this year as well, in a way. So that's the way I look at it, because I watched the press conference before, or not the press conference, whatever they call it, the interview with Brad Arthur. They brought Brad out and they spoke about it's what I've been kind of saying to you guys for a while, and I've said it on the other podcasts as well, League of Inches. The benefit of last year of not making the finals was having a full off season together. And it's one of the first things he said. He reckons they've grown as a team and everything.
13 weeks.
But he did. Yeah, exactly right. 13 weeks. But he did kind of highlight in that as well that obviously he knows that things weren't great last year and performances weren't there. So I think as a first grade player, if you saw yourself named in that team, you knew he wanted more out of you this year if we're talking about mental toughness and growing as a team.
But the
on the ball there.
The other
Do you think he saw it?
Well, I was just going to say the other thing that he did mention about on Sunday morning was accountability as well, and that was himself included. He needs to take more accountability as well. And just back to your point about the off season, as I said, 13 weeks they've been together, the longest off season that they've had together for a long time. They've had a lot of camps, and that. Connection between each other is getting better, and that's what you want. You want that connection so you can trust the guy next to you on the field, and you've got that connection with him. So the great Hayden Knowles, he always says, you know, the most connected team is the best defensive team, and usually the best defensive team wins premierships. So if you can get that connection happening, and listening to Jermaine Hopgood a couple of weeks ago at CommBank Stadium, he was saying that he is seeing similar little things at Parramatta now that Penrith, he saw at Penrith. So that's obviously getting into that. So hopefully it transforms into premierships.
Sure. Look, I haven't got much to add for the game. We'll go through a couple of players eventually, but like I said, I kind of skimmed through it. Look, I knew the result by the time I watched the game because my father can't help but open his mouth when he sees a score pop up on his phone. And I said, I don't want to know it, which is very unmotivating to watch a trial when you know they get trounced. I watched it to 16-0 and I was just pretty much fast forward and watching some of the key moments. But I guess one concern for me, and I'll go to a concern straight away, was their two tries when we were, I won't say we're at full strength, but we're definitely at full strength for what our team was for that night. And all the big players were on the field, you would say, or most of them. We scored, conceded two pretty soft tries. And look, I was going to say it now because we're going to get to it obviously later on with the team list for this weekend. But Ryan Madison, for example, I'm a big fan of Maddo, love the bloke off the field, love what he's produced for our team. But he missed a very soft try, a very soft tackle, 17 minutes in the game, I think it was. He plays a lot big minutes. He can usually play 60, 70 minutes. So miss that softer tackle early in the game that led to a very soft try. You know, I think it's why he's found himself as 18th man this week. I think a message has been sent. So that brings me back to that point, obviously, of I think Brad put some players on the field he needs to see more. Is there any other things you want to comment on, Joel, about that game quickly?
Yeah, a concerning factor for mine is the 38 points. And I say that because last year I felt like we continually allowed too many points against not just the first grade side, but the reserve grade side as well. And when we look at the trial on the weekend, that was a mixture of, obviously, as you've explained pretty well there, a mixture of players that are playing for a position, I feel like, and a lot of the New South Wales Cup reserve grade players as well. And to be honest, we weren't versing a team that was red hot either. Like, they had a lot of those sorts of quality of players as well. And for mine, look, watching it, and I was trying to be as neutral as possible for writing notes down for League of Inches stuff, that they just looked so much more hungrier than we did, especially after about that 15-minute mark. Like, they had players who knew they were playing for a jersey for round one and they wanted to be in that top 17. They looked like they had their kids really wanting to jump out and play for those positions, where we sort of, in a way, folded in a way, I felt like, where we just sort of went, oh, it's a trial, like, that's all, like, no worries about that. But we're not coming off a great year. So I would like us, especially for this week as well, to actually come out as if it's a proper game and really give it to a team and, like, really show what we're about this year. I know what Troy's saying about being together in the defence and stuff, but if I'm going off the first game already, I don't know, I'm not buying it too much yet, because 38 points isn't what a team that's buying it and moulding themselves together is conceding 38 points in my eyes.
But there's no 2 points on offer, so you can't really go in all full guns blazing in a trial.
Yeah, but I know you say that, but like the Raiders, it's only a trial, and their players, especially their junior players, were playing as if they wanted that jersey. Like, and we had players who are on the cusp of first grade selection. Like, we're at the time, like, I'll give Ofiki Ogden and Wiri McGregor credit, though. I think they played quite well, especially early on. But when their forwards were starting to bash us and just get basically just meters at will, I was expecting one of them, even though it was a trial, to sort of step up and go, you know what, we're not going to take this shit. Like, we're going to move and we're going to bash you guys back. And no one really did it. And, like, that's, I think, I agree with Adam when he's talking about Maddo. Like, I'm expecting Maddo to be that guy as well. But everyone just sort of watched it happen and just went, oh, no, you guys score. No, it's all good. Like, I know, yeah, it's a trial. You don't want to risk too much. But at the same time, like, we're going to need to show what we're about this year and play with a bit more pride, even though it's not two competition points.
Do you think that comes from coaching style? Like, I'll give you an indication now. Ricky Stewart's obviously not afraid to build the axe in a way. We saw him do it at Parramatta with a infamous little, you know, overhead TV projector. Screen or whatever it was, overhead projector. He's not afraid to do that. Now, I've openly come out and said I think Canberra will slide massively this year because they've lost quite a lot of players. So what that obviously does is open up room for some of these young players coming through. Do you think these young players playing for Parramatta on the weekend know that Brad's a stick, you know, is a pick and stick kind of guy? He doesn't weld the axe. If someone goes terrible, he doesn't go, right, you're out this week, you're going to play reserve grade. He sticks with them no matter what. So do you think these reserve grade players just knew this was a trial game for them and they didn't have to go out and prove anything because they're going to find themselves in reserve grade no matter what?
Well, they obviously think they're going to play reserve grade with the team that's been listed this week. But, look, I agree. I mean, if the performance isn't there, then sometimes changes need to be made. And you're right, BA doesn't make a lot of changes week to week. I mean, it can be a good thing, can be a bad thing. It can be a bad thing if you make changes all the time because then you're not getting that combinations happening or whatever. But can be a good thing because you're going to get players that are going to get hungry for this for a spot in the starting line or on the bench, and they're going to, you know, do everything they can to get that.
Yeah, Joel, anything on that, or kind of touched it all off in your comments before?
I think Joel has frozen at the moment.
We got our first tech glitch of the season. This is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so we'll just keep on going between ourselves, Adam, I think, at the moment, until we see life come into Joel. So, Joel, just feel free to jump in any time.
He's back.
There we go. Okay. You okay, mate? You all right? You need to take a break? Or?
No idea what happened. Oh, I got no idea what's happening here.
You want me to repeat the question?
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
I said, have you got anything else to add on that, obviously, in regards to, you know, Brad picking and sticking and these reserve grade players obviously not wanting to lift because they know the opportunities aren't going to really come to them unless it's through injuries or suspensions?
Yeah, it's valid. I think as Para fans, long-suffering Para fans, we're used to the way Brad Arthur coaches now. And I know there's a comment there from your brother about some things that I know a lot of people will say it's only a trial, relax, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there is stuff that you – like, and this is what I look at straight away with trials. I don't care about the two points or the win. I just want to see these players who are getting the opportunity to shine on at a first-grade level do that and produce and show that they want to be there. Like, Ethan Sanders, for instance, we all know the rumours out there that he's basically signed to deliver for the Raiders next year, but there's still a chance for him if he can stand out to play a big part with us this year and perhaps change some positions up and mix things up and be a spark for us, and we need that this year. But if you're going off what we saw on the weekend where you get to verse lesser opposition, you're questioning if the hype is real there for him and some of the other players out there. But you're right. Like, there is part of that where it's a coaching thing, but at the same time, that's probably a mental thing for the players to get over and just say, you know what, the coach may think this and go this way, but I'm actually going to play that well, and I'm going to change his mind. And that would be just nice to see that the players actually do that. So
I think that's one thing we've really lacked in the last few years is that player coming through, and we're seeing it at so many other clubs, but that player coming through and putting pressure on our starters. And that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, we can talk about our depth. Obviously, our reserve grade was absolutely terrible last year. Look, we had some injuries and stuff obviously there and all the excuses we can find. But there hasn't been someone for quite a few years come through and put pressure on any of our starting players. And the only way we've made those changes, obviously, because, like I said, injuries or suspensions. So, I don't know, it'd definitely be a mental thing. I want to touch on the Ethan thing. Yeah, look, Josh has obviously said, obviously, it was his first game in grade against men. Obviously, Arcee was there to steer the ship. I wasn't disappointed with it. I thought he had some good moments. But I guess the biggest thing I wanted to see for Ethan at this age and through these trials was I wanted to see him with our regular team and see how he went. Because, you know, he was out there running, we'll say, a hybrid team, some first graders, some reserve graders, and a lot of Jersey flag players from last year in that team. So not a lot of, you know, as Josh has said, and something he knows all well about, experience with men. Oh, sorry, experience against men. But, sorry, Josh, couldn't help myself. But, look, he doesn't get that opportunity now looking at this week's team, which we'll go through soon, because Arcee's taken the opportunity. So what Ethan's done with his, I won't say poor performance, but I guess his inability to control the team, is he's put himself down the order. Because how it stands now, based off those trials and based off what we're going into this week, and look, that team name this week will essentially be very close to our round one team, touch wood, no injuries. Arcee has now wrapped up that first starting 7 or 6 spot. Doesn't matter what happens. If Dylan was to go down, he'd come into the 6. If Moe's going, he'd come into the 7. He's wrapped that up now with that performance in the trial. Because I thought Arcee was actually very solid in the trial on Saturday night. Anyone else want to comment on Ethan, Troy?
Yeah, well, speaking to him on Sunday morning, he believes that it's just all a media beat-up about his contract with Canberra, so he hasn't signed anything. So he potentially wants to stay at Parramatta all the time. So, yeah, if he says that to fans then goes against it, well...
He's going to get booed.
well, yeah.
He's not going to come out in front of a big Parrot fan day fans and say, I've signed with Canberra. That'd be a death wish. So,
that's no, this was just to me, not to everyone. This was just to me.
Sorry, Parakeet. Sorry.
this was just
that'll get out.
This is just me. So, but look, I mean, maybe it was nerves playing against a bigger grade as well. Who knows? But yeah, he's only young, first time.
Yep. Give him a next chance. Young player we'll talk about, Blaze Talong, is, as Brendan there's mentioned. Look, I thought he showed some promise as well, a lot of errors, but nerves are obviously going to be a thing. We have no doubt about that. It seems like he's potentially obviously going to be our first in line for a fullback replacement throughout the year. Things always don't go to plan in that regard. When it comes to Brad Arthur, he's more likely to switch one of our back line around and give him a debut on the wing or something like that. But look, obviously that's that option there. He's obviously been, I won't say blessed because not the right word I'm after, but he did a couple of injuries, obviously, with Arthur Milt-Stevens going down, who you'd think would have been the New South Wales Cup fullback the year, obviously, with him going down as well, gives him that opportunity. But look, obviously, he's going to get better with experience. The one I want to ask you a question on is the Morgan Harper versus Bailey Simonson debate. Now, I know we all joked about Morgan Harper when he signed. Also, how rubbish he's going to be. I don't really think defensively he got exposed. That could happen, obviously, in first grade when he gets an opportunity, if he gets that opportunity. I may be wrong here, but in my opinion, I thought Morgan Harper completely outplayed Bailey Simonson on the weekend. Anybody else feel that, Joel? It's painful to say, isn't it?
Because I've been saying now for almost a year that I'm very worried about our backs and our backline stock. I think that's our weakest part of the football side. We've clearly got the forwards, we've clearly got the spine, but that 2 to 5 spot is just, for mine, a real weakness for the Eels. And if we take our blue and gold hearts out and you actually look at it on paper, I think we're down the bottom when it comes to, or not right down the bottom, but in the sort of the bottom 6 or so backlines in the competition. And if Morgan Harper's coming out there and outplaying our starting centre, who's apparently got basically a cement jersey for that spot, then it is concerning, because you are right. Like, he did have some decent touches. I know Morgan Harper's got that stigma about him, but just watching that him unfold, he did have a couple of good moments. Like, it wasn't anything to write home about game, but then that's the worry there, that he had one of those games and still outshone I outshine the player in Bailey Simonson. So, yeah.
I'm going to call you up because you said this the other night, but I want to say it again. You're bagging out the back 2-5, but I'm going to jump on you here and just say that same 2-5, essentially, besides obviously Wonga Blake, who we all know you weren't a fan of, took us to a grand final. So I feel like you're judging a little bit too much on the performances of last year, where we know obviously the team was poor. Look, there's no doubt Sivo, he frustrates all of us. No one can doubt that. Will Pennicini last year started like he was just going to have one of those years. And like Paulo, like I've already touched on, I feel like he just felt the effects of, you know, obviously hasn't been in first grade too long, but 2022 was a massive year for him, going from obviously playing through to a grand final, playing every game nearly. I think he did play every game, to be honest, and then going to a World Cup run. So we can see why he kind of started to struggle halfway through the year. Moving on to Bailey, I think we established last year we'd love to have a strike center that isn't Bailey, but he was probably our most, well, you're going to bag me for saying this as well, but after he went from the wing to centers, he was probably our most dangerous player with the ball in hand for quite a while, until we just went to the tactic of give him the ball and expect him to do something. And that's not Bailey's fault. That comes from a coaching side of things. And I think it kind of showed where halves are at as well, obviously losing Brown and losing Mitch and not really having that thing there. And as for Sean Russell, like I've already said it now, obviously he wasn't there for the 2022 grand final. He would have been if it wasn't for Jaden Campbell's knees. And Sean needs to show more. He looks like he's put a bit of size on. He's got the speed. He's got the ability to finish tries. Maybe all Sean is missing in his game is a center inside of him or something along those lines that can actually give him a bit more ball. Anything to rebut on that, Joel? Am I right?
You're right about one thing. They were good back when we had that grand final run, but that was almost a year and a half ago. And the fact that none of those players have continued to improve is my worry. Where plenty of other players in the back line throughout the competition, if you look at their form back then and how they were as players, a lot of those players, especially the younger ones, have moved on to become more established players and more dangerous players. And people are saying it sort of in the comments stuff, like it's not just attack either, it's defence where other will real worry about things as well. And like Sivo, I think people are more and more starting to see Sivo in a different shade. I know he scores plenty of tries, but he also doesn't do a lot of things that wingers should do. There's a comment there about Opacek, but seriously, like I would actually rather Opacek right now than Bailey Simonson. Like I'll go out and say that. I actually think Opacek was quite good for us and was a really solid center. Bailey's just too hot and cold for mine. Like, yeah, he might have a great moment, but then he'll cost us in three or four other moments. But because he's had that one great moment, it sort of blinds people to the rest of the game that he had. So I'm happy to say that, yep, won that grand final run. They were great players, but good clubs evolve over time. You don't just keep players because they were good for us almost 2 years ago. We've got to continue to move on. And it's unfortunate because the hard thing as well, there's not as much pressure on them now this year because two of our good young guns who are really pushing for first grade spots this year are now both out for season. So that hurts. And that's where we should, I don't know, in a way we should be on the front foot with that and trying to sign some talent. We did try and do that. We've been knocked back by a couple of like Wilson from the Dogs and the like. But yeah,
let's just hope last year they're having a rough season, they can bring it back this year. I will say one more thing though. Sivo is definitely not a player I want to evolve his game. When Sivo evolves his game, he tries to do chip and chases and stuff like that. It's definitely not what we need. I think the only person in our back line I really want to evolve their game and not stick to the basics is Pennicini. And I think we're going to see the best of him this year. He showed a lot of it last year. He just needs to continue to grow, and I think he will. Russell, I think he just needs to get a bit more involved. We need to find a way to get him a bit more involved and start to use his speed, because we saw that rundown, how quick he actually is. Look, anything else to add from the weekend's game? Obviously, disappointment. Who was your player? We'll go one player each. One player that stood out for you. I'll go to you first, Troy.
I don't know, probably Ogden for 20 minutes. Just really,
his took first stint was massive.
Yeah, took some big hit ups. Obviously got that first try. I think he did two hit ups in that set, I think. So he looked like he was really going to be on that day. Look, I spoke to Blaze as well on Sunday. about that bomb that went askew. It was basically just, he said it was just him mistiming his catch on that one, and that's why it bounced and Canberra scored. But yeah, probably Ogden for me.
Yep, Joel.
Yeah, shout out to Ogden. He actually threw me at the start of the game because he dead set looked like Junior Paula. I thought it was Junior at the first like few minutes. I was like, hang on, I thought we were resting him. Maybe Brad Arthur's giving him a real rocket and he's actually playing this game. But and then when he crashed over and they finally had like a face shot, I was like, oh, hang on, it's Ogden. But
I wasn't sure who the number eight was. Who was the number eight?
Some young player is going to make his debut this year. I think, I can't remember his name.
Okay.
Special shout out to Sean Russell as well, showing a bit of pace. I think he's added a little bit of speed to his game this year, which is great to see in the off-season. Worked on that, and we definitely need some more pace in that back line. So hopefully he keeps going. He does look like he's put on a little bit more size as well. So who knows? Could turn into that barnstorming winger we need.
CBA.
I'm gonna go hands for myself. I thought he was solid in the game. Thought he did enough, obviously, out there. Before you mentioned, I would say shout out to Matt Arthur. Obviously, not the way you want your first grade, not debut, but your first game in first grade to go. Obviously, there's nothing major. There's the concussion, but maybe a bit upset. Obviously, seeing his dad, how concerned his dad was in the box there as well. It's just one of those things you never want to see. But Josh should know that was my next one.
Yeah.
Kelmer as well, I thought was huge. And look, it looks like based off that performance, and I won't say he definitely wasn't going to be there, but based off the two performances on the weekend, I looked at this weekend's team now. Actually, before I will, just touch on the hands thing. Why I was happy to see hands playing like that is it seems like now what I thought would happen, Lussick is going to be our starting nine. And I pray to God in round one that Brad Arthur has seen the light and gone, we need two hookers. Because if we can get both those two firing and we can bring hands on for that 30, 35-minute stint just before halftime and after halftime, we will cut teams to pieces because he has a lot of ability to get out of dummy half. Solid defensively as well, so we don't lose anything there, and can be quite creative. It's a spark we need, and we talk about our back line, we talk about X-Factor, stuff like that, and not having a spark. If we can get a spark out of hooker who's going to dash and go, with the ability to link up with Moses and Brown, we know how quick they can be when obviously you play that freelance kind of footy. It gives us that another dynamic that we do need massively.
And the benefit benefit also too is it's almost a little bit like Harry Grant when he started his career off the bench, got those minutes, got that experience, and then now he's a starting hooker. So it could be the same thing for Hands.
Yeah, for sure. Let's run through this week's team firstly. I'm just trying to get it up because I've gone to the wrong thing. Give me a second. All right, we've got it here now. Hopefully they've updated this app. They have. All right, so it's as close to full strength, I think, as we're going to get. We'll touch on the interest around the end, but Gutho at fullback, Sivo Russell on the wings, Penasini and Simons in the centres, Brown and Moses in the halves, Hopgood at lock, Cartwright and Lane second row, Paulo, Campbell-Gillard, Lussick at hooker, the bench of Hands, Greg, Offengawi, we're going to call him Kelmer. It's Kelmer Tuolagi, isn't it? Tuolagi? We get a correct pronunciation.
Close enough.
Close enough, yeah, great. Madison at 18, which is the interesting one. Harper at 19, Dunster at 20, RC and Tuolagi, which is Blaze, there at 22. So that's your 22. Obviously, looks like they're not going to take as big a squad. Usually the case when you go into these trials, it's kind of an indication of what your starting team's going to be. Look, we'll go to the interesting talking point. Obviously, we've been speaking about this afternoon already. Madison at 18. I think that's an indication of the weekend. I felt like, for me, Madison and Offengawi are going to cover the same role for you. They've both got the ability to play in the forwards, in the front row. They've got the ability to play in the second row, and they've got the ability to play lock. You can't carry both of them in your team. It's as simple as that. If you want to carry a backup hooker off the bench as a 14, you're going to carry a front row, which we know is going to be Greg. You cannot carry both of them because they cover the same role. So you're better off having a second rower there. We know, obviously, Lane struggled last year, not just so much for fitness, obviously, with injuries, but fitness as well and minutes. Cartwright, I still see, is about a 60-minute player. I don't like Cartwright playing 80 minutes. The more fatigued he gets, the more chance he's got of doing something stupid, as good a year he did have last year when he was forced to. So obviously having Tuolagi there on the bench, it means it's got to be a choice between Offengawi and Madison. So I'll say this. Madison obviously got his chance on the weekend with a weakened team. He'll get minutes this week. Tuolagi, obviously, sorry, Offengawi gets his chance this week with the starting team. Who do you start round one, Troy, or not start, but who gets the bench spot?
Oh, well, I guess it just depends on how Joe goes this weekend, I guess. As you said, I think Matto and Joe are playing for that last spot on the bench, because this side that's been named this week is probably, as you said, very close to the round one side that we'll see. So, I think it'll be depending on how Joe goes this week and then the 2 weeks at training.
Stop sitting on the fence. Give us a name.
Sitting on the fence. Who do you want? Who do you want to play? If you were picking the team tomorrow for round one, don't take Trolls into it. Would you like?
Oh, I'd put Matto. I'd put Matto in on the bench.
Yeah. Joel?
Yeah, I'd go Matto. The thing I want to throw out there is there's an elephant in the room, and that's obviously the rumours early on in the preseason was that Matto was the player we were shopping around for a player swap with for an experienced quality backs player. So where there's smoke, there's fire, I guess, and maybe there is a bit more truth to that than we actually originally thought. We all thought when we first heard that news, you can't be shopping Matto around. That's crazy talk, but maybe something has happened there. I don't know. Maybe it's just a money thing cap-wise and they need to free up a bit more cash. I'm not too sure, but maybe there's something to that. The fact that, like, Greg or as you said, offering Gow would be at the moment a lot cheaper than what Matto would be on. But who knows what happens. I think Brad Arthur has these players each and every year where he sets an example with them and he plays some silly buggers a little bit with them. And I guess Matto is that guy, looks like, to start with this year. Because even though it is a trial, I still would just have him in that 17 because of who he is and what he's done for us in the past.
Yeah, and you've nailed it, though. You've nailed the cap thing, and that's the biggest thing for me looking at this. If Matto is to be an 18th man, it's a lot of money sitting on the bench, sitting there waiting for a head knock, not playing. And when you look at what we've got coming through in that regard, that can play, obviously, those positions. You know, you've got Dory who can play second row, lock, so he can play front row as well. Luca Moretti, I know he picked up a head knock on the weekend. I think that's why he's not there this weekend, but he'll obviously be floating around for that spot. I was pretty impressed with him last year as well. So if an opportunity does come to move on Matto, I think it probably is the time to take if someone's willing to take it. The other rumour floating around throughout the off-season, it's interesting. I don't think he picked up an injury, but he was named, obviously, in the 17 jersey last weekend in a game that obviously had a lot of, you know, reserve-grade players in there. Was Makatoa. There's a rumour floating around that Makatoa was potentially going to the Dogs as well, was it? I know that's where Matto was rumoured for quite a while, even overseas.
But he's not a utility, so how's he going to the Dogs?
Yeah, that's true. We can't play 14. He's nailed that one.
utility forward.
But interesting, Makatoa was 17 last week, and he's not named in his top 22 this week. As a player that was consistently, if he wasn't playing, named in our top 21 last year, there could be a bit more smoke and fire there. Those two could both be shipped off, which does give us the ability, if some of these young Jersey flag players obviously do go on and stand out New South Wales Cup, to upgrade, to bring them on. Anything else to add? Obviously, this weekend's game, I think what we'll kind of see in a way is probably 60 minutes full strength and we'll start to change things around. I think a fair indication of a score line will be after 60 minutes. I haven't really looked at the Titans team, to be honest.
It's pretty much full strength as well.
It's a strong side.
Yeah.
So, without Campbell, without Fifita, it's pretty much full strength.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Just before we touch on that, I just wanted to quickly touch on one more point with the Matto incident. And I think that is there a possible sign that Brad Arthur is actually sending it to the senior figures of this playing group at the moment to say, last year wasn't good enough. We need to step up as a leadership group and the likes. Like, if that is the case, then I was watching on the weekend and I was thinking to myself, I think Wirrum is ready to start consistently for us. And that really puts on it. We all know, obviously, he's a captain of the club. He's held very high up amongst a lot of the fans and the club. But for mine, I think that starts putting some pressure on Junior Paulo to really make sure he starts well this year, because if Matto's the first guy that looks like he could be getting a tap on the shoulder, and if that's the hard line that Brad Arthur wants to start showing, look, it's going to be very – I'm not anticipating, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but Wirimu looks like he's ready for that starting role, and I think Reg is still quality and deserves that spot, but the next person up I think is Junior after last year.
I've got a couple of points on that, but I've got a concern as well. I think a positive first year. Our two best games last year South Sydney in the last game against Penrith was when Wiramu started. So Wiramu started with Paulo in that game against South Sydney. Obviously, Campbell Graham was out. Campbell Gillard. It's been a long off season. I'll tell you that much.
He was Campbell probably out as well.
Well, he is now.
He wasn't. He played. He played. He probably scored too. I know he scored. So Campbell Gillard obviously was out that game. But when we looked at that Penrith game, all three were available. Now, that was the only time, obviously, since Wiramu hit the form we saw him in before that injury he had, that foot injury, the only time all three were available again, we got excited about the rotation. We did see Paulo go back to the bench and Wiramu started. And when we obviously saw out one of our best forward performances and dominated Penrith there, which isn't easy to do, dominate Penrith's pack. The concern I have is that I've seen Paulo in Origin coming off the bench and I don't like it. I don't like Paulo as a bench player because there's something in his mindset when he comes off the bench that he thinks the tough work's been done and he can just come out and ball play, e.g. Origin. If Paulo is to shift back to the bench, the indication needs to be to him, you're going against the weaker forward, you're going against a tired hooker, you're going against some tired players. You need to be taking that ball on your arm and finding those metres. There is some concerns there. And also, is it 900,000, 850,000 he's on, whatever we worked out he's on, 950, is it? Something like that. That's a lot of money to be playing for a bench forward. A lot of money. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If Paulo doesn't find the form we've seen from him previously, we should be looking to offload him throughout the year while we still can and before June 30 and seeing what else we can pick up. Because I think with Wiramu and Campbell Graham, joking, Campbell Gillard, got his that time, I think we've found our starting front rowers there. And, you know, like I said, Maddo can come on and do a job. Ogden goes in leaps and bounds there. But in saying that, if Paulo gets back to his form, it excites me to see those three all going all guns blazing because we'll be able to have that rotation there. We've always got our strong forwards on.
Well,
any thoughts on that, Drew?
I also spoke to Wiramu on Sunday, Adam, and he
says... Who haven't you spoken to? Hang on.
He says...
Did you line up for an hour every time?
He said... Yeah, I was with Hayden most of the day, actually, yeah. But he says to say good day as well. We said that our mate Adam is your biggest fan, so we didn't mention anything about a cat or anything, but being a cat, but... I think
that got to him before he found his form, to be honest.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, here's a far-out suggestion. What about even RCG on the bench and Junior start with Wiramu as well? Or mix it up, like, you know, see how it goes for a few games.
You mean keys in bowl before the game, mix it up? Or but we just pull out the key in who starts, or there's a better way.
Well,
to...
Well, yeah, maybe. But no, like for a few games, like try something like that, because I've said it before too, like maybe Junior should be on the bench and then. We just haven't had another forward on the bench that had that impact like Wiramu did last year.
My concern
bring
with that.
Bring Philly back.
Yeah.
Mate, I dead set reckon he's still playing over in England somewhere.
England or America somewhere. My concern with that statement, Troy, isn't that you made it. It's that Brad Arthur concern again. Watching the games last year, he has this ability, it's an ability somehow, or it's an inability to not see when players are fatigued. And he lets them go that 5 minutes too long. We saw it so many times with players like Hodgson and Lane last year, even Cartwright sometimes. And if you started with Paulo and Wiramu, two bigger bodies, it puts a big target through the middle of the field for us. If both of them get fatigued around that same time, as someone like Campbell Gillard, I feel like he's definitely going to, even though he fatigues quicker, he seems to show a bit more effort when he is fatigued and still put in. He seems like the kind of bloke that's going to raise his hand when he's well and truly fucked, the other two just seem to keep pushing and throw lazy arms out.
Yeah, I think one thing that's probably at the moment, especially after last year, that's saving Paulo is that he's co-captain. So you probably don't put a co-captain on the bench, I think.
I get that. Yeah. Anyway, All right, let's go quickly. We're going to do something fun because it's a trial, but trials matter as well. We're going to be bold. We're going to be bold for the first time this year. We're going to do predictions on a trial, and I've thrown you under the bus. We're going to wrap this up. We will be back. Look, we probably won't be back next week. I'll give you while these guys prepare our plans here. We're going to try and put this into two shows. We're going to do a Sunday night show, roughly around 8:15, obviously, with that 6:15 game. So straight after that finishes on a Sunday night, obviously, which will be our review, obviously, of the weekend's game. When, you know, obviously everything's fresh in our minds and we're still angry because we love an angry Joel. Love an angry Matt.
How are we going to do that in round five? Isn't the Canberra game the late game? We do it in the car on the way home?
We're going to do it in the car on the way home. We're 100% going to do it in the car on the way home. I'll be driving. We'll talk. We'll put it over in the passenger side. There'll obviously be no looking because that'd be irresponsible, but it'll be a great fun. It'll be a great vibe. Have you confirmed if you're coming down for that one yet, Joel? Can we get an agreement? Just for those, there'll be some great content coming from that. There'll be at least four of us doing a day trip to Canberra and back. It's going to be...
There'll be a pre-game show and an after-game show. Something.
I'm sure if the fans want me there, I'll make my appearance.
Let's put a poll up. Let's see in the comments. Let's see your comments.
I'll be there. I'll make it work.
Start scrubbing the toilet with your toothbrush and start getting into that kitchen just doing the brownies, mowing the grass every day, mopping, you'll be right. All right, bold prediction. Troy, could you claim to be the expert of this? I'm going to get you to go first.
Not really. I think I lost
by I won it last year with my
bold
prediction.
1,000 points, I think it was.
Yeah, I did because, God, you'll never – oh, that was perfect. That Broncos, all right, I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first, yeah.
Let me get the team messed up. All right, my first try scorer. my first try scorer for the game is, look, he owes us big time. And I think he's in for a big season. I'm going to go Dylan Brown, first try scorer. I was going to go good old Sean Lane because I think he owes us as well. Not that a lot of stuff was bad luck last year, but I'm excited by the Lane-Brown combination again. 2022, it was deadly. So, obviously, can't wait. So, I'm going to go Brown, first try scorer. My scoreline, I know Joel's expecting great things from the Titans this year. You obviously touched on it without Fifita and Campbell. There obviously is a massive dip in their team. I think we'll do similar to what we did to Newcastle last year in this trial, which we absolutely trounced Newcastle in a trial last year. For those who don't remember, I certainly do. It counts against Newcastle trials, FYI, guys.
But it doesn't mean anything for the year, but does it?
Yeah, no. I think we'll go 40 to 18.
Shit.
All right. Yep, I think we're going to kill them. And my other bold prediction is...
Oh, you're going to take them all.
No, that's my...
That's your score prediction.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot how he did this.
Yeah.
My bold prediction is for us to score the 40 points and keep them to nil and then score three late tries. As we obviously rotate our players. Or as Troy said, push some of those players for extra minutes.
Which in the press conference, or not the press conference, the speech to the fans from BA, he will be doing that again this week. So expect players to be pushed.
Yep. All right, go. Give us your push, Troy. What's going to happen in the game?
First try scorer will be Will Pennicini. And score will be, look, I'm not as confident as you to go like 40 points in a trial game, so I'll just go 24-20, obviously to Parramatta. And bold prediction, I think, didn't really prepare for this, so I'll go both front rows to score a try. Ogden got one in the first game, so he's raised that bar. Now the other two have to get there too.
Okay. 46-1. Great comment from Superfan Mika Martin there. Bold prediction. We're playing the Titans, Michael, in Ipswich. That was last year. Welcome to 2024.
Oh, fuck. Do tries and trials count as tries in the season, or they have to be premiership games?
For front rowers, for bench front rowers, fringe front rowers, they definitely do.
Yeah, okay.
Look, I just want to highlight one thing before we get to Joel. I'm excited for round one to be playing the Dogs, as they won the comp last week, in case you didn't know, the way they were carrying on, the way they were celebrating every time they scored a try. I can definitely see some Penrith players have come across because they were just carrying on like absolute pork chops, and so were their fans. So I can't wait to play the Dogs in round one at Para with 30,000 Para fans, because,
to be
the best, you've got to beat the best. And they are obviously the best the way they carried on. Right, Joel?
Sean Lane, first try scorer. You mentioned it. I think that edge with Dylan Brown has a bit to prove to us this year. I think they'll get off to a flying start. It'll be Dylan Brown to the line, just a little pop to Lane, who crashes over. Scoreline, I'm actually going to the game as well, so I'm pretty keen for that. It's in Ipswich, lovely place, lovely town. Can't wait to go there.
Shout out to all the listeners out there.
Are you saying that so you can make it out of there alive? Is that why you're saying it?
Yeah. Maybe. But no, I'm really keen to get out there, see how the boys go, see all the off-the-ball stuff as well. But scoreline, I think it'll be quite muggy, so I reckon there'll be a lot of drop ball. I will go Parramatta to win 20 points to 14 in a close one, hoping we just defend a lot better and Titans don't score as many points. But as you said, I do like the look of the Titans this year, but those two players out are crucial to them. They're really big players this year for them. My bold prediction, I'm only going to say this one because I think it's going to put egg on the face of Brad Arthur. I'm going to my bold prediction is Hands to play more minutes than Lussick. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, he came out and said he only wants to play a one hooker. If this happens and Hands plays more minutes than Lussick this game, I think it's hilarious because he's completely 180'd on what he was saying. So
maybe that's just to throw everyone else off.
Let's see how good we can get.
Maybe.
All right, guys, as we said, we touched on Sunday show moving forward, and then we'll be doing the usual Tuesday around this time, which will be our preview show of the next week after Team List Tuesday. Not sure what we'll be doing next week, obviously with no game to preview, and obviously the Vegas stuff in the week after. So we'll find some kind of way there. We might actually pop on the Sunday night after those Vegas games, those round one games. They are Sunday, aren't they? We might pop on then, just do a bit of a review of this and talk about footy being back and probably a live cross to see what happened and what player fucked up in Vegas. So watch this space. Something's guaranteed to happen.
So we'll back, see you soon. We're back on, back on Sunday?
No, not this week, the week after.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Go Para.